Susan McManus, is it premature to say that this race is a national bellwether, in particular with regard to the Affordable Care Act? Were there peculiarities with this race that separated out from other midterm contests that where the Affordable Care Act is sure to come up as a campaign issue?
Absolutely. One of the things that Democrats were trying out was to try to change the subject away from Obamacare. So you saw the pivoting towards the discussion of Social Security and Medicare. And that was something that, you know, was pointed out by national pundits, and we had seen locally, is that they expected, if that was successful, that they were going to try to do that in other places. And I'm in Washington right now and was listening to some of the morning pundits up here, and one of the top people pundits was asked whether he thought that that was going to be possible to kind of segue away from it. And he said he didn't think so, and that was certainly my conclusion after watching it. It just really didn't work because the discussion always kept coming back to the Affordable Care Act. Mm. And honestly, in all is said and done, with $15 million spent and whatever, it really came down to this choice. If you liked the president and you liked Obamacare, your clear choice was Alex Fink, and vice versa. And so when you have a district that's only 2.4% difference between registered Republicans and Democrats, and with Republicans slightly ahead, no surprise that the results ended up looking like that, because that was really, when you sifted through everything else, that was really the choice.
And let's go to callers right now as we discuss the results of Florida's 13th special congressional election. We want to know your thoughts about the Affordable Care Act and whether you think it will become a campaign issue in the congressional midterms later on this year. Give us a call at 549-2937. Peter in Fernandina Beach is with us. Hi, Peter. Good morning.
I'm Melissa. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, well, personally, I feel that the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare is so far down the line progressing now. There's so many things in place that I don't see how it actually could be reversed. I think that as they go along, just like when Medicare first started out, I'm sure they had a lot of different problems, and they took care of them as they came up. So I think that Congress should, you know, fine tune it, but I don't think there's ever going to be repealed. I mean, the Republicans tried, I don't know, 40 times in the House of Representatives to appeal it, and it never got anywhere. And I think that the longer it goes on, the harder it would be to ever repeal. But I think they should improve upon it. And in the long run, I think when people understand how it works, I mean, I don't think anyone fully understands, and the common voter, I don't think, understands, unless it applies to them directly. You know, it's complicated, so I don't think it's going to have that much of an effect on the congressional elections in 2014. Hmm. That's my opinion.
Okay, but that's Peter up in Fernandina. Thanks, Peter. Susan McManus, what about his comments? And as he pointed out, the Affordable Care Act is not going to be repealed. That doesn't mean, though, that Republicans won't try to run against it this year.
No, and Democrats are going to try to run on exactly what Peter was talking about, which is it needs fixing, but not repealing. And that was certainly one of the arguments that Alex Fink espoused from the very beginning, and we were watching that as well. She never apologized for, she never totally embraced Obamacare. From the very first time she was out on the stump, she said, "It's broken. We need to fix it now and, you know, not repeal it. There's some good things in it." And again, I think it's just such a partisan issue that was what was reflected in results, because it was a clearly very, very close contest. That's a very divided district. And, you know, so you have to look a little bit broader. It's going to be an issue in the competitive congressional districts, which are, there are very few across the country, but it will be an issue. But just like Republicans saying get rid of it, but not putting anything else down on the table to replace it, Democrats now, are who are going to say let's fix it, also have to put some kind of solution on the table. And so both of them are struggling for what that solution is going to be. But let me speak to a bigger issue, which was turnout.
Yeah.
It was very high. It was almost 40%. Most special elections can be in the single digits. You know, that was a very high turnout. The real surprise was that the Libertarian, the 27-year-old Libertarian, who is a very strong candidate, he's young, he was included in all the debates, all the town hall forums, got good coverage in local newspapers, ended up getting a very small percentage of the vote. And when you dissect that, you have to understand that a lot of the independents that voted ended up going for one party or another. And so you ask yourself, which way did they go? Heading into this election, there was speculation that the Libertarian, whose name is Lucas Overby, would drain mostly from Republicans because that's sort of the tradition. But the newer hypothesis was that, no, he would draw from Alex Sink because younger people who are no party affiliation voters. And consequently, you know, the potential was there for him to drain younger people who would have voted Democratic. Well, as it turns out, it looks like that the independents pretty much split. And when Republicans win in narrow contests, just like when they carry Florida in presidential and really tight races, it's because of two things. They can pretty much break even among the independents, and they can do pretty much break even among women voters. And I think that's what happened, is that the narrow victory was because that Alex Sink and David Jolly split the independent and women's votes. And that then reflects basically the partisan edge that Republicans had in the district, very narrow.
Interesting. And lots of calls. We're talking politics this morning on First Coast Connect, in particular one Florida race that is getting national attention as Republican David Jolly narrowly beats Alex Sink in Florida's 13th congressional district in a special election Tuesday night. Will this be a bellwether for the congressional midterms in the fall? What are your thoughts about the Affordable Care Act and how it may play out as a campaign issue? Give us a call, 549-2937, as we go to Janet in Jacksonville. Hi, Janet. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say that it's going to hurt the Democrats a lot because I am a registered Democrat. And I tell you right now, I will not vote for one of them because I don't agree with the Obamacare. It's a disaster. It's only going to hurt us, the middle people. The only people that are going to be, that are going to benefit from the Obamacare is the people that are on welfare. But hardworking people that make a living, it's going to hurt us a lot.
Why is that? And, tell us about your situation. Do you have health insurance?
Yeah, no, I don't have no health care. I have been, I'm a truck driver. Mm-hmm. I'm an owner operator. And I've been without a health care since like more than 10 years. I just take care of myself. I eat right. I exercise. And that is it. And the day that I get sick, you know, whatever happened will happen. But I don't go, I mean, I don't know.
So you don't want to, you don't want to buy health and you're not going to buy health insurance?
No, I am not. What? I am not going to buy health in Obamacare, no, health insurance.
Is it because you don't feel you can afford it?
I cannot afford it. It's a fraud. And this is only the beginning now while we're getting started with this little amount and the service that we're supposed to get. You know, it's wrong. It's bad. I mean, the money that we're going to be paying for that insurance is not worth it. And I think, you know, that's up to us. This is a free country.
Janet,
you know,
Janet, how old are you?
Uh-huh.
How old are you?
I'm 53.
Okay. So you're over 50. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Janet, thanks for the call this morning. Susan McManus,
okay.
For those that agree with Janet, and by the way, we're getting lots of calls, emails, and tweets, both for and against. We'll read all of those in a moment. But Susan McManus, that caller, Janet, reflected, you know, the half of the country essentially that does not like this law and is resisting the reality of this law.
Right. And it's a very divided country on this issue, which again was reflected in these results the other day, which is why people look at it as a bellwether. I must say one more thing about the race that people have to understand. Most of the money came from outside of the district. It was not raised by the candidates themselves. The money came in from the national parties and whatever. Both candidates, I moderated the second debate, both candidates, all three candidates, but particularly the two that ran, had the money spent for them, acknowledged that this outside money and these messages that were drafted in these TV ads, which were playing ad nauseum, took away from the candidates their ability to control their own message. They were consistently having to go out and apologize for the messages that were portrayed in these ads run by outside groups. And there was a lot of truth testing of the ads, and hardly any of them turned out to be totally true. So people became very skeptical. And I think your caller, your last caller, reflected what the people who are opposed to it are very skeptical that it's going to save money and that they're going to benefit. And that's one of the challenges that the Obama administration has had, is trying to overcome those perceptions.
Lots of calls, emails, and tweets. Here's one from Jeff in St. Augustine. Is there any indication of the turnout? The Democrats will lose seats this fall, but there will be no veto-proof majority. Older white voters care about preserving Medicare spending at all costs, while cutting, quote-unquote, big government. Younger voters care more about issues and future economic sustainability. They will vote in 2016, and the tide will change again. Here's a comment online from Kenny. It's hard to imagine that a less than 2% difference in vote totals is a huge statement on the Affordable Care Act or the upcoming results in the midterm elections. An email from Jim. Special elections are not bellwethers. Alex Sink's loss in Florida District 13 was due to a lack of a get-out-the-vote effort in key Democratic precincts. Susan McManus, do you agree with that?
Certainly not the last statement. If there was ever a get-out-the-vote, I mean, she acknowledged, and I have students that are working in all the campaigns, as you might imagine, because I teach local politics, but they acknowledged that they contacted most voters, Democrats in that district and independents, not once, not twice, but three and four times, both by robocalls and by knocking on doors. It was a massive get-out-the-vote effort. The problem is, and I think one of your people sort of hit on this, the turnout problem for Democrats in a midterm was what we saw here again. Younger voters just drop off a lot. They'll vote in a presidential but not in a midterm. And I really, honestly, when you all said and done, I haven't looked at the age breaks yet on who voted, but I suspect that one of the reasons that Alex Sink narrowly lost was because the Democratic turnout of younger voters, which, by the way, is the most solidly Democratic voting bloc in Florida, their turnout was low.
They didn't
turn
out.
Because, frankly, every ad featured older voters. Younger people were not drawn into this contest.
And lots of comments on our First Coast Connect Facebook page from listeners. Here are a few. I wonder if CR 13 just came down to people not caring that much for Alex Sink. From Susie, voters who have government health care, Medicare, came out to vote to repeal health care for people who don't have it. And here is a post from Don Emmerich of the Northeast Florida Health Planning Council. With the recent release of Florida's ACA enrollment numbers, it's hard to believe the Affordable Care Act had much influence on this race. A total of 442,087 Floridians are enrolled in a plan bought on the health insurance marketplace. That's an increase of just over 145,000 last month, with 24% of all enrollees being between the ages of 18 and 34. A total of 90% of all Floridians that have enrolled are benefiting from financial assistance. Lots of tweets as well. Dave tweets the show, Alex Sink lost, obviously, due to the failure of Obamacare. But Matthew tweets the show, the Democrats should have won this race. They ran a poor candidate and campaign. Everyone says it was because of Obamacare, except for Jolly himself. And let's go back to your calls. Larry in St. Augustine is with us. Hi, Larry. Thanks for holding, Larry. Good morning. You're on the air.
Right. What I wondered, this isn't directly your question about Obamacare, but I can come to that at the end if you want to hear my view. But what I noted was the difference between the Democratic candidate and Republican candidate was 2%, yet the third-party candidate got, and I'm assuming Libertarian is a party, maybe it's NPA, I don't know, got 4%. Now, is that a new phenomenon? Is that something to look for in the next election?
Let's discuss that. Larry, thanks. Susan McManus, you have the lowdown on the libertarian piece of this.
Yes, I do. Libertarians are really making a move in Florida politics. You're going to see a libertarian candidate for governor as well. And one of the things that I think is an interesting phenomenon, and I'm glad your caller asked this question, because there was debate among local media about whether to include the libertarian in the debates. But
yeah,
there were
yeah.
three candidates. And here's the situation. News media, particularly newspapers and even, you know, television, radio, are losing younger voters who are increasingly libertarians in their leanings. As you saw, a recent Pew study showed half of the millennials don't identify themselves as Democrats or Republicans, but independents. And so what you're going to see is media is going to have to start including these third-party candidates in their debates and so forth. It's kind of hard to make the argument anymore that you should only have the Republican and Democrat on the stage when during presidential primaries you'll see debates with 10 candidates on a stage. So I think that from a business model, it behooves the media to include these third-party candidates. And actually, we were watching him very closely, Overby, because of the disaffection of so many people with government in general, and both parties in particular. And, you know, I think a lot of people thought he would have gotten a higher percentage, but I think some of his supporters just didn't show up.
Let's go to CB in Jacksonville. CB, are you with us?
Good morning. How are
Good
you?
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good. I was just listening to a lot of the talking with some of your callers, and I just wanted to point out this. People are saying, you know, that it was Obamacare and this type of thing that actually was the downfall. But what they fail to understand, I think, is when Medicare was first introduced, nobody liked it either. Now you touch it and you get a problem. So what they're not giving this thing time to do is to actually work. They're so busy trying to defunct it, they're not giving it time to work. And a lot of people know that the actual Republican situation, they don't like Obama anyway, so anything or anybody that's affiliated seems like they're a complete target. What I think needs to happen here is that people need to look at the fact that the real choices are, for once, I would like to see not only the Democrats and Republicans alike and independents and anybody else, for once, just stand up and be Americans.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call, CB. Thanks for the call, CB. Susan McManus, President Obama the other day got national attention when he went on the web series Between Two Ferns with host Zach Galifianakis, trying to reach out to young Americans in on a format they think is cool to get them to sign up for the Affordable Care Act, trying to boost the numbers of young, healthy Americans. Now, as CB just pointed out, he defines this as an issue of patriotism. But the polarization in this country is such that while CB sees supporting this act as patriotic, Republicans see opposing it as patriotic. Isn't that the rub?
Right, and that's the point we've been making all along in the discussion, is the fact that this race came down to the typical partisan polarization that has characterized the country. And in a way, I think many of your callers and tweeters were accurate in that, well, you know, this wasn't the only issue and things will change, but elections are in the immediacy. But that's the danger in waiting till, you know, thinking the same thing is going to be true in November, which, you know, is what you're presuming. But the point is that the Affordable Care Act has basically become a surrogate for how people think about Washington politics. And that ends up being a very partisan view.
Ben tweets the show, there's clear data to show underperformance by the Sink campaign in strong Democratic precincts. And he sent me a map showing the different precincts. Thank you for that. From Doris on Twitter, independents are not necessarily libertarians.
Lots of feedback on this. Let's go to Bill in San Marco. Hello, Bill. How are you today?
Good morning, Melissa.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think folks really are listening instead of doing. I actually went through the process and applied for the Affordable Care Act benefits. I pay $84.63 a month, and it's a better insurance package, much better insurance package than the one that I got through my company health care. I'm telling you, people just aren't taking the initiative to go on the site and actually fill out an application, because when you look at the site, it clearly shows you a lot of retail possibilities, but you have to fill out the application and see what you qualify for. That has saved me almost $600 a month. And let me make another comment. I don't think there's no such thing as polarization. I think that's all to do with the media and the hype. It's a ghost. I work out in the field every day. I work with all types of people. None of us are polarized. We're Americans out earning a living. We're being told that we're polarized. The polls shape all of that. Thank you very much.
All right, Bill. Thank you for the call, Bill. Susan McManus, yesterday new numbers came out showing that Florida has the second highest percentage of enrollees in the Affordable Care Act, and this in a state that didn't set up its own exchange.
Right, and that's what we were talking about, and several of your listeners and so forth have pointed out, and that is that you don't really know if the Affordable Care Act is going to be the issue as it is right now, by the time you get to November. But the point is that you're going to have very, very few contested congressional elections anyway across the country. I think out of 435, one is estimated that about maybe 70 will be competitive, meaning Democrat and Republican running against each other and narrowly divided like you saw in Pinellas County. So in a lot of places where the successes are, it won't be an issue. But, you know, where there's divisiveness along party lines, that's where the issue will be a big issue, just as it was in Pinellas County. But I still think it really is a surrogate for how people feel about Washington politics, and it comes down to D's versus R's. And about the libertarians, about independents not all being libertarians, that's absolutely true. Independents are one of the most diverse groups of voters that we have, because some are what we call NPAs, no party affiliation, but others belong to minor parties, of which the libertarians is a registered minor party. And that's what makes reaching independents so hard, because they come from a lot of different angles.
Yeah. Let's take a few more calls. People have been waiting for some time. Let's go to Mike in Jacksonville. Hello, Mike. How are you today?
Hey. Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, good deal. I listened to the comment just a moment ago. Yeah, it's hard to predict what's going to happen in the future, but I think you can safely say that even if it's not at the local level, you're going to have it permeating the national landscape in terms of what the subject is out there, and that's going to be Obamacare come the upcoming election. Personally, I think that if Democrats want to have any chance of winning, they better start embracing Obamacare and start doing some salesmanship and some selling of Obamacare and doing exactly what the previous caller just did. You can make a good, strong case that the Obama administration has done a poor to completely inept job of selling Obamacare, you know, ex post facto. But like it or not, this is the albatross that the Democrats have, and they better start embracing it and doing something with it, because that's going to the Republicans only have to say one word: Obamacare.
Yeah,
that's it. It's the label. They if they say it with enough dripping venom, it's going to say everything they need to say. The Democrats need to stop, you know, heavily verbalizing it and come up with some very similar memes and some very similar ways of countering the argument and very simple ways of countering the argument. And they better start doing it because running away from it isn't going to work. It's not going to work at all.
Mike,
at all.
Mike, thank you.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Susan McManus, is that a strategy that you think Democrats will adopt?
Well, from what we've been talking about and from hearing some of the other kind of national commentaries, it is true that there are success stories that Democrats are starting to project. But if they're going to use the strategy of saying, okay, let's not repeal it, you know, it's not broken, let's fix it, they're going to have to do something pretty quick in Congress about some fixes. And I think that's certainly doable, and you're starting to see some of the key Democrats in Congress talk about that because they realize it's not just House races, because no one's expecting that Democrats are going to take back the House. It's those six U.S. Senate seats that are all that would be needed to turn Republican, to give the Republicans control of both houses. That's what's frightening Democrats across the country, and it's those six Senate races that there needs to be something done that helps those Democrats better campaign this election season.
Let's go to Brian in Jacksonville. Brian, thanks for holding. You're on the air. Hi, Brian.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Sorry about the background noise. You were saying that this is covered nationally. The papers may have, but like last night, as of like 7 o'clock, NBC, ABC, CBS, none of them covered this election. And I was just curious what you thought about that.
Thanks, Brian. It was probably covered more heavily on cable news, but that's a fair point. Thanks for that call, Brian. So, Susan McManus, we've kept you on the line for quite some time. Your final thoughts?
Very interesting race. I think the biggest concern is Obamacare, still how both parties are going to cast it. But what to look for next election cycle is all this national control over local races. It's got to be a challenge for candidates at the local level.
Thank you so much for calling in this morning. We appreciate your time.
I always enjoy it. You have some terrific listeners.